If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hi, friends, and happy first week of spring. I know this has been kind of a weird year. So for us in Michigan, winter felt like spring, and now spring kind of feels like winter, at least for the next few days. But I am starting to see signs of the season. The sun is out more, the birds are coming to the feeder in much larger numbers, and they're a lot louder. And yesterday, I actually noticed a bunch of daffodils in the yard. So yes, spring is officially here. And I think it can really help us connect with the world around us and with ourselves and the cycles of life when we find ways to mark the season we're in. So today, I'm going to be offering a few simple ways, actually seven to be exact, that you can welcome spring into your life. And some of these will be things you can do right away. Others will be things you might gradually do over the next few weeks or the next couple of months, but they're all practices that I think can be really powerful. So before we get to that, I want to share the tea I'm drinking right now. It's peppermint, just plain peppermint, and I sourced this from Smith Tea. I'm actually going to be going out to afternoon tea with my stepdaughter later, and we're going to each get two pots of tea, so like two full pots, which makes, I don't know, 20 ounces or something like that, plus a whole big spread of food. So I will be heavily caffeinated and very full later. So I thought this morning we could just keep it a little bit on the lighter side. You also might be able to hear that I'm getting over a cold. So I find the mintiness kind of soothing to my system and my throat. Smith is also one of my favorite tea companies. I find that all of their blends and their herbals are really high quality. So I will link that up in the show notes, but it is peppermint from Smith Tea. Okay, so let's talk about different ways to welcome the spring. My first idea is to change up your skincare routine. So I've been pretty consistent with my skincare routine for the last few years. I primarily use Osea. They are an affiliate partner for the show, but I've been using them for years and years before this podcast existed. And I do swap out some of the products I use in the spring. In the winter, I might use an oil-based or a cream-based cleanser and a heavier night cream. And then I usually switch to something lighter in the spring. I also find that my face just feels kind of grimy in the summer when I'm spending more time outside. So I'm more likely to use a toner or a hydrating spray. And I also tend to shift the times that I exercise, that I do outdoor work, and all that kind of thing. So my skincare routine has to shift along with that. Now, these aren't changes I make all at once, and some of them won't really be necessary until it's a lot warmer out. But I do like to start thinking about them in the spring, because I don't know about you, but this season has a way of really sneaking up on me and going by very quickly. So I like to think proactively about ways to stay on track with little routines and little rituals that I find helpful and supportive. So again, I love my skincare partner, Osea. I've worked with them for years. I really love their products. I also like to experiment. I have been DIYing some of my skincare, and I've also been playing with some tea-based skincare products for obvious reasons. So I think I'll do a post soon about my updated summer skincare routine, but I will link in the show notes the post I wrote about my skincare routine a couple of years ago, the majority of which will stay in place. Okay, so another way to welcome the spring is to think about changing up your overall schedule in preparation for the summer. So for me, this shift tends to center around two things. There's my kids' school schedule, because of course, things change a lot when they aren't getting up in the morning and going off to school all day. And because they're teenagers, that means I have to kind of work into my morning, remembering to get them up and get them moving. But even more so, for me, my daily routine tends to be affected by the weather. So one thing I typically do in the winter and the early spring is that I am chasing the sun and the high temps. I go for about a 2-mile outdoor walk pretty much daily. And this year I was really happy that besides right around the holiday, it was the holiday and I was dealing with a foot injury. So I didn't get out a whole lot for those walks like in December and going into early January. But other than that, I really kept up my regular outdoor time. And that included those outdoor walks, even when there was snow and ice on the ground. But to make that really work and be something I wanted to do in the winter, I have been heading out around 2 or 3 p.m. Typically, that is when I'm going to get the warmest part of the day, often the sunniest part of the day. And I usually would also pair that outing with feeding the chickens and any other outdoor chores or work I had to do. And then the rest of my schedule would kind of orient itself around that timing. So that's been working great. It's still working great, but I'm very aware that things are going to start changing fast. So that perfect walking temperature that I'm now experiencing at like 3 o'clock is pretty soon going to be happening a lot earlier in the day. And then come July, I'm really going to want to have that walk over with by no later than 9, maybe 10 a.m. at the latest. I often forget to plan for that transition. And then my walks kind of drop off because the weather gets extreme in one direction or another, whether I'm going into the summer or going into the winter. And I haven't proactively shifted the rest of my schedule or routine. And so I just find myself skipping those walks because it's too cold or it's too hot. And that's really a bummer. So for now, these afternoon walks are perfect. There's no reason to change them just yet. But by about the end of April, I'm going to want to make a pretty dramatic shift in my daily routine to where I'm really getting those walks and my outdoor chores done in the morning. Then that hotter afternoon weather, it doesn't sneak up on me, and I can use that time for more indoor tasks, maybe working on my computer, puttering in the kitchen, and that kind of thing. So for now, the action item is just mapping out some different daytime scenarios, and I tend to do this journal style. I write a little narrative of how a day could go if I was to organize it one way, and then I write a narrative about a different kind of day if I were to organize it another way. And maybe I do 2 or 3 of those and I just read them and see which one feels most right. Sometimes I can tell which one I like the best as I'm writing it. And sometimes I need to take a little step away from it, go back and read both of them or all 3 of them and see which one just intuitively feels like the kind of daily routine I want to put together right now. And it's not always the same. Year to year, it might change. I do find that when I use narratives and storytelling to help drive my decision-making, I just make better decisions. They're more grounded in intuition. They're more grounded in where I am in life right now. They're more in line with my own desires. For me, making a pro and con list doesn't really work as well as a decision-making tool. Or like in the past, I've made a dummy schedule. Like, okay, maybe a perfect day would look like this. You know, 9 to 10, go for a walk, 10 to 11, blah, blah, blah. That's helpful to a certain extent, but it's almost like first I have to lay the groundwork for seeing how I want my day to flow. And for me, that narrative really helps me connect with one kind of day over another. And then I can kind of take that forward into something that looks more like a schedule, which I'm not a super schedule-oriented person. I do really like routines. I like some basic milestones or landmarks to kind of organize my day around and let the rest kind of free flow. So the narrative really works for me. It also helps me identify trouble spots. So potential things I'm not thinking of, like conflicts that could get in the way, or, oh my gosh, but I forgot when I'm going to start dinner, or those kinds of things. I find that when I write something out in a narrative, it helps me sort of know when there's a piece of the story missing in a way that a schedule really doesn't. So I'm thinking in the future, I'm probably going to write a blog post that details how I use narratives to help me kind of create those visions and then how that vision can help me create a routine. Because for me, it's been a really powerful tool and it's also fun. It's just really fun to dream and visualize about what a day could look like. So right now I'm in that dreaming stage. I'm really not making any changes yet, but I'm just thinking about what life might look like when that weather really starts to warm up. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willow Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. Okay, so number three way to welcome the spring is to swap out your footwear. Here in Michigan, it is way too early to start thinking about, you know, doing a whole wardrobe shift. I've got probably a month and a half at least before we'll be there yet. And it's even too early to start thinking about things like wearing spring tops instead of sweaters. I could layer them under cardigans and stuff like that, but I'm just not quite in the place where I'm thinking about that kind of wardrobe shift just yet. But I do find the first place I'm ready to make a change is often my shoes. For example, I just don't really want to wear my calf height black suede tall boots anymore. I love them, but it doesn't feel like the season for them anymore. It feels like overkill. Even on the days that are a little chillier, it's just too much. So I have been working things like ankle booties back into my routine. And I've also been wearing my Uptown loafers from our sponsor Vionic a lot. Now, at first I was thinking those shoes would be more of a late spring or summer thing because I kind of assumed I'd wear them with bare feet. And I can be a little slow to pick up on new fashion trends sometimes. But over at the Mom Hour podcast, our team member Katie Parrish made a comment about how she wears her Vionic loafers with socks. And I was like, okay, mind blown. This opens up so many possibilities. So I am wearing thinner wool socks around the house pretty much all the time, except in the dead of summer. It's just like I get up in the morning, I put on my wool socks, and then in the winter, I put on my slippers. So if I'm running out the door to the grocery store or to run an errand, now I just like kick off my slippers at the door, put my loafers on over my socks, and go. So I feel more spring appropriate, but the tops of my feet and my ankles are still warm. So anyway, I will put a link to those Uptown loafers in the show notes, and you can use the code TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, to get 15% off your order plus free shipping. Just a note, you do have to create an account and log in for that code to work, and it's a one-time use only, just FYI. But their Uptown loafers are my new favorite, and I'm getting a lot of wear out of them, even on chilly days. So whether you get, you know, new shoes for the spring or just kind of go dig out last year's spring and summer shoes, I think this is a great time to start doing that. It's like a great way to ease your wardrobe in. Okay, so the fourth way to welcome the spring is to pay attention to the birds. Now, they are such a sign of the season, and maybe it's the middle-aged lady in me really coming out full force, but I just love getting better acquainted with the birds in my region, and there are two ways I do this. The first is just by making sure I'm filling up the bird feeder and then actually looking at it every day. Right now, it's positioned so that you can see it from both our dining room and our living room, and I actually changed my usual seat in our living room on the sofa to make sure that I'm oriented in the direction of the feeder so I can watch the birds, like if I'm having my tea in the morning or working on the sofa or whatever. I love it. There's so much activity out there right now. And I just have kind of a basic platform style feeder. I really like that because it attracts all different kinds of birds and they will often hang out together in the feeder. And they're really easy to see because it's just like a platform that's hanging and they're all standing around on it, you know, eating the seeds. So we have it rigged up to a hook that hangs off of our deck rail. I will put a link in the show notes for that. I really like it. The other thing I do is I use a bird identification app pretty regularly. The one I use is the Merlin app, and you can use it by taking a photo of a bird or recording some bird song while you're out walking or hanging out in the yard. And then the app will help you identify the bird. And I'm finding now that as I've been practicing with it, I'm getting better at IDing birds just at a glance, which I find really satisfying. So definitely recommend both a bird feeder and using the Merlin app. Okay, number five on my list today is to change up your beverage game. You know, it's a little early, at least here in Michigan, to think too much about changing up our diets. And depending where you are, that might be true for you as well. So here we're still kind of dealing with the remnants of last year's harvest. In my home, there is still a lot of root vegetables that we're eating. There's still fall fruits in play, or we're eating preserved things out of the pantry or the freezer. It's going to be a while before we're going to a farmer's market and picking up fresh berries or local rhubarb or anything like that. But I find that my beverages are an easy way to lighten up a bit. So right now I'm drinking, like with my caffeinated teas and my black teas, I'm drinking ones that have floral notes. Maybe they have flower petals in them or some other kind of flavoring. I'm drinking herbal teas with things like mint and lemon balm and citrus. So really just kind of mixing up the flavor profile in a lighter direction. I'm also starting to experiment with making different sparkling waters and sparkling teas. So I'm going to be doing a whole post about that soon because it's really fun to do. And I will let you know when that's ready. But again, I just feel like changing up your beverage is kind of an easy and fun way of orienting yourself towards spring. Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Okay, number six. This is along the same lines as bird watching. I would just encourage you to pay close attention to what's sprouting out of the ground or blooming or growing in your neighborhood right now, because it changes so fast in the spring. Those daffodils that I noticed yesterday, they're not going to be around very long. And there's going to be other stuff popping up in the next several days and weeks that just isn't going to last. So maybe for you, this looks like walking around your yard and seeing what's coming up. Or maybe if you wanted to be a little more ambitious, you could go on a spring foraging walk. Now, you don't have to harvest anything or eat anything that you find, but maybe just walk around and pay attention to which plants around you might be edible and get more familiar with what's growing in your local area and when. There's a ton of guidebooks you can use for this kind of thing. I think it's also a great idea to do a foraging or plant walk in your community. Those are often hosted at nature centers, or maybe see if there's a practicing herbalist in your area that leads guided foraging walks. You can also use the Seek app, S-E-E-K app, to get acquainted with the plants in your region. I have been using that a lot. I just go around and take pictures of stuff, and the app tells me what it thinks I'm looking at. Disclaimer, before you start eating anything, you really need to be sure what it is, so you should consult multiple sources, an app is great, but it might not be 100% correct. So that's where I find that it's nice to go out with an experienced person to look around. But if you don't have that option, you can use that app. And then if you think you know what you've got, harvest a little bit, take it into your house, and then maybe also look it up on another website or in a book. Just you want to consult multiple sources that are going to tell you different things to look for and maybe help you look at the plant from different sides. Because sometimes something can really look very similar to something else, maybe something you don't want to eat from one view. But if you flip it over, you might see something totally different. I will link up some resources in the show notes for getting started foraging as well. But again, this doesn't have to be anything super formal and it doesn't have to be scary and you don't have to eat anything. I just think it's a great idea to get familiar with what's growing around you. Okay, so that brings us to my last idea to help welcome in the spring, and that's to tend a plant. And I'm going to let you define that however you like. I know for me, the first thing I think is, oh my gosh, it's spring. I need to go plant a whole garden. And you know, that's great if you're in a season of life where you can manage that, or if you have space for a garden, or if you even want a garden, but not everyone is in that place all the time. And I'm not always ambitious enough going into the summer to plant a whole garden. But I do think that caring for a plant in some way is such a practical and meaningful way to connect you to nature and the season. And it can be a little potted plant you pick up in the floral section of your supermarket, or maybe you do want to start some seeds indoors, or you spend some time caring for a bush that's already on your property. Maybe you do something crazy, like I went and bought a producing tea plant. This can really look like anything. I think the more it's aligned with where you are in life right now and your interests and where you're spending time, the better, the more likely that you're going to have a positive experience. But research shows that just being around plants is good for your mental health. It lowers your cortisol levels. It lowers your stress levels. And I think that caring for a plant takes those benefits one step further. You start to feel really invested in the natural world and as though you can impact it. And I think that's really valuable. And it's a great way to connect with the season that you're in and watch those changes unfold. Okay, friends, so there you have 7 ideas you can use in the coming weeks and months to welcome the spring and hopefully help you feel a little more in sync with the changing seasons. I'm going to be writing a lot about seasonal shifts over the next few months, and you can find that writing by going to my blog at theteasemade.com. Be sure you subscribe over there so you don't miss any of those posts going forward. And as always, I would love to hear from you. Email me at meganfrancis@gmail.com and let me know how you're welcoming the spring season this year. That's all for this episode of The Teas Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasmade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon. If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com.